Let's take our Bible this evening and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is the last chapter of the book, and we'll look at some verses towards the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 to 18 is the text for the message this evening. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 to 18. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be dependent on things. Some things, anyways. I like to sometimes think it's nice to have my own things, although sometimes it's good to be able to borrow tools and things. It's nice to be able to have your own, so you can just have them at your disposal. I'm glad I have a car. I like to have a car, and I would say it's pretty much necessary for me to have a car. But I wouldn't like to have to depend on public transport necessarily. I like to be able to go where I want to go when I want to go there. And, I prefer even to drive myself. Even I had a chauffeur. Not that I ever will be the Prime Minister of Canada, but I almost feel sorry for him. He can't drive his own car anymore. He has to have somebody drive him around. I like to be able to, say, well, you know what, let's go here or there and pick up the keys and head out the door. I enjoy a cup of coffee. Enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning. Usually have one again in the evening. And as you know, I have a bit of a sweet tooth and enjoy some chocolate and sweets from time to time as well. But I refuse to be hooked on them. If I get to feeling that I was thinking I would not be able to, do without my coffee, I would stop drinking coffee just so I can say I could do without it. I don't like the thought of being addicted to something or hooked on something. I like to have coffee or chocolate or whatever else just because I want to have it, not because I feel like I have to have it to get by. And I know those things are small things, are relatively insignificant things perhaps in life, but I believe that they kind of bring us to speak to a point. The word addicted means devoted by customary practice. Devoted by customary practice. And there are many things that people are addicted to. There's all kinds of addictions that are out there. Some of them are harmless. As I said, some people say, I just have to have my pizza every week or whatever. You may say, I'm addicted to that. I'm addicted to, I just love playing this particular game. Or I love my coffee or whatever. And they may be relatively minor things. And then, of course, there's things that are as serious and significant as people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and other vices that are morally corrupt and wrong. And they're addicted to those things. And they say, I can't do without those things. So usually the word addiction is used in those senses. It's used to refer to the negative things, the vices that we shouldn't be addicted to, and that some of them morally wrong and others just not good things to be hooked on, as we might say, and going along with. And as I look at Christianity today, I sometimes get concerned. A concern that there are believers who are addicted to things that they shouldn't be. Some things that maybe aren't morally wrong, but in excess they cause problems in the Christian life and interfere with our service to and fellowship with God. You know, one of the signs of the last days was people would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, in a sense, that means that they are addicted to pleasure more than they're addicted to serving God. In other words, it's something that comes before God. Unfortunately, that describes many Christians today in our world. Many people are Christians, but they would say they're Christians, but they're too busy doing other things to take time for God. Tonight, I'd like us to take our text here in 1 Corinthians 16 and consider the thought, are you addicted? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, and that is, it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Verse 15 is largely a parenthetical statement, or it's in brackets. It speaks of the house of Stephanas, and it says that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Let's pray together. Lord, again, we're thankful that we can be here to open your word and to look at this thought of addiction in a different light than it's probably often looked at. Lord, to look at it in a positive way, because it is recorded thus in your word for us in referring to these people that lived in at the time of the Apostle Paul. And so, Lord, I pray that as we consider this thought, that we would be challenged in our lives. Perhaps there's things in our lives that we are not necessarily addicted to, but they have the wrong place in our life. And, Lord, maybe there's things that we ought to be addicted to, or that ought to be put back at the right places in our lives that they need to be. And so, Lord, I pray that this message would be helpful to us in our Christian walk, and that through it we'd be drawn closer to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13 is a cause for consideration. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." If we would guard against the wrong types of addiction in our lives, if we're going to do that, then we must give consideration to what we are doing and why we're doing it. And that's what verse 13 is really telling us about. It begins with, "Watch ye." And that's not what you do when the preacher's preaching and you watch your clock. That's not what we're talking about here. It's talking about watching is to be on guard, or to be vigilant, to keep awake. In the Christian life, there's a need to be vigilant, because the devil is a crafty, or as the Bible describes him to be, wily foe. He knows how to get in there and trip people up in seemingly innocent ways. Little things can become big things, and simple things can become complex. And legitimate facts can easily become excuses. You ever had a time in your life, perhaps in your own life, or perhaps you've seen it in the life of others, where they're very faithful to church, faithful to the Lord, and just serving God, and then perhaps an illness comes along, or perhaps that's a bit prolonged, or perhaps a work schedule changes, and for a while maybe they have to work extra, or they are ill and not able to be in church, and very easily, if we don't watch, When our schedule is clear again and our health is there again, we can just get into that habit of, well, you know, I missed church while I was ill, I missed church while I was working, so, you know, it's not that big of a deal. What is that? That's the devil kind of trying to get us to sneakily slip away from God. So the Bible says we need to be watched, we need to be vigilant, we need to be on guard against those things in our life. And that's just an illustration of potential for many things. We need to be vigilant because we have an adversary. We need to keep an eye on our life and watch the things that we do that they don't become our downfall. I don't suppose many people that are addicted to things that they shouldn't be ever thought they would be addicted to those things. And sometimes Christians can even get involved in those things because they don't watch. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Know what you believe according to God's word. Know what is right and what is wrong. Have a basis for what you believe and what you practice in your life. Search the scriptures for your answers to right and wrong. It's not enough, as we've said before, to say, well, that's what the preacher says, so that's what I'll go with. You need to know why. Stand fast in the faith. And understand why it's important to have your own convictions that are based in the Word of God. If you can't go back to the Bible to back up what you stand for or believe in, either by a specific command or by the principle of Scripture, you will fail and you will fall. You need to stand fast in the faith. You need to have something that you can go back to and say, no, that the reason I'm not doing that is because God says this. Stand fast in the faith. Knowing why you believe and what you believe will keep you from doing things that you'll regret. So stand fast in the faith. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, and quit you like men. Now, ladies, this is not saying that men are quitters. This is not even using quit in a negative fashion. It's using quit in a positive fashion, and because it's saying we ought to quit like men. You say, what does it mean then to quit like men? Does that mean you quit in a particular way, like the 5 o'clock whistle blows like it did on the Flintstones, and you slide down the dinosaur's back and say, yoo-hoo, I quit for the day and I'll be back tomorrow? No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about the way we act. It's talking to act like a man. to stand up for things, what you believe in. Don't just to give up or back down, but stand up. Quit you like men. If you know what you believe is based in Scripture, stand firm. Quit you like men and be strong. Be strong here is not just a repetition of watching or standing fast, but rather the thought behind this, be strong, is the thought of being empowered, increasing in vigor, increasing in strength. You know, the longer we've been a Christian, the stronger our faith should be. We talk about, and the Bible talks about, baby Christians, young Christians, and old Christians. And there's a level of maturity that should go along with those things. The Bible talks about those who, though they were had been saved for a long time, were still babies in their faith. And the Bible says, the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Christ. And you're not ready for the strong meat, but you need the milk, and you should be ready for the meat. And so there's that aspect of growth in the Christian life and increasing in vigor as we grow. It's a little bit reminds me of what the book of Hebrews says, where it says, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching, so much the more. It's that growth, it's that carrying on, it's that increase in strength, increase in vigor, empowering to do what is right and to stand strong. You know, God doesn't just want us to maintain, but to grow and increase. Being strong will keep us from doing things that we will wish that we hadn't done if we are not strong. Being strong will help us to stop doing things that we have started that we realize we shouldn't have started doing. And so he says, be strong. And so this verse tells us to consider our life, to look and see what we're doing and watch what we are doing with our life, our habits, our regular deeds. They're worthy of consideration. And so he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Verse 14 is a verse that tells us that our lives need to be centered around charity. Charity is love, or a benevolent affection, a love that expects nothing in return. It's sometimes translated, the word that's used for charity here, sometimes translated as love, sometimes translated as charity. In John 13:35, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It's that testimonious kind of love. It's that concern and compassion that we have for one another that is there regardless of what is, if there's nothing in return. It's the kind of love that God speaks of when he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the love. That's the charity, the love that he's speaking of here. Then he says, let all your things be done with charity. It's quite a statement, isn't it? Let all your things. Well, some of your things may be different than some of my things, but as people, we need to make sure that all the things that we do are done with charity. Our lives need to be based in true biblical love. It needs to govern our lives. Can you imagine what a difference it would make in our lives if we asked questions such as, is this a loving thing to do, before we did it? Or if we were to say, before we acted or reacted to something, can I do this lovingly? Because the Bible says here, let all your things be done with charity. Imagine instead of getting bent out of shape and upset with things, we decided to respond in love. How different our homes would be, how different our workplaces would be, how different our churches would be if we would respond and have our lives, all our things, done with charity. I remember when I was a teenager, we had an evangelist come to church. He came actually a number of times, and I remember one of the things that he taught on the home a lot, and he said one of the things that we should ask before we say anything is it kind, is it true, and is it necessary? It kind of goes along with this kind of thought, isn't it? It's let all your things be done with charity. Galatians 5:14 says, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we, before we acted, would say, is this the way I would desire to be treated? Is this the way I should act? Is this a loving thing? Is this the way I would want somebody else to treat me? That things would be done a lot differently. And so he says, let all your things be done with charity. We often do things out of mere habit, not giving it much thought. We sometimes do things grudgingly, not realizing the opportunity that we have to do the act. We say, well, it's not a very nice thing. I'll take out the garbage. We'll have to do that when we get home tonight. Pick up all the garbage and take it outside. It's not a nice job. It's a nasty job. But let all your things be done with charity. Do it in a pleasant way, loving way, a kind way, and so on. And it doesn't mean you have to love the garbage. You hate the garbage. That's why you stick it out at the road. But you can do things with that loving way. But again, imagine the difference it would make in our lives if, instead of doing those things grudgingly or just out of habit, that we put love and thought and care and concern into those things. Because that's what God says that we should do. We should serve God with love. Sometimes we come to church and we say, well, I'm on duty in the nursery today, or I'm teaching today, or I'm preaching today, or I'm taking up the offering today, or whatever. And we say, I'm going to do that. And serving the Lord. What have we said before we did those things? And we read this verse and said, I'm going to do it with charity. That would change the way we did it. A love for God, a love for the people that we are serving. We should do nice things and kind things for others in love. And again, it may be hard to imagine, but according to this verse, we can do everything we do with charity. If you can't do it with charity, maybe it's not what you should be doing. Now, I say that, I work a couple days a week. I'm, in debt collections. But I can do that with charity. I can do that with compassion and concern and still stand for what's right and still do it right. Because God says, let all your things be done with charity. Again, love for God and for others would stop us getting addicted to many of the things that we get hooked on. I wonder how many people are addicted to something that has ruined their family. If they were to stop and think, I can't do this with charity because it will negatively affect the people around me, then they wouldn't have done it in the first place. If they'd taken the time to think about that, and things would be a lot different. Let all your things be done with charity. And then we come to really to the meat of the message in verses 15 to 18. And we look at this thought of being addicted to the ministry of the saints. After giving these instructions, he goes on to talk about some people with addiction issues and the result of that addiction. These were people that were to be an example to the Corinthian believers. They were the Stephanas family. Now, we don't know the Stephanas family, exactly who they were. There's some things that were told about them here, and we'll look at that a little bit here. The Bible says that they were amongst the first people saved in Achaia, or that area of Greece. That was a great testimony. It was a Christian family. The Stephanas family were believers that Paul had the opportunity to see come to know the Lord. They were early in his ministry in that area of Greece. They came to know the Lord. It was a great blessing that he had to look at that and think about that. They were known to the Corinthian believers because he said, ye know the house of Stephanas. He says, you know who I'm talking about when I talk about the house of Stephanas. They were addicted to ministry. Again, though, addiction is used in the negative in our day, the Bible says here that their addiction thing was a good thing to be addicted to. It's used in a positive fashion. You notice that it says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This is something that they had chosen to do. This is something that they had chosen to get involved in. Now we think of addiction and we say that it means devoted by customary practice. That's the dictionary definition. We would say today that an addiction is something that we say, I can't live without it. This is something that they had to be involved in. They felt compelled to be involved in. They were hooked on it, as it were. They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, they devoted by customary practice. That means that there was a first time that they got involved in ministering to the saints. There had to be a first time for it to become a customary practice and for them to be devoted to it. You know, to get involved in ministry of whatever kind, there's a first time. There's that time, and I'm sure these people maybe had to go out of their comfort zone a little bit. They maybe did something that they had never done before. They had to put themselves out. They had to take the time because the Bible says they had addicted themselves. They chose to do this. Perhaps someone had asked them to be involved, but ultimately they said, yes, I'm going to do that. And we don't know specifically what area of ministry to the saints it was, whether it was teaching, whether it was preaching, whether it was a ministry of helps and that kind of thing. It doesn't tell us. Maybe because we can all be addicted to ministering to the saints. And if it said one way, we'd say, well, yeah, I can see you could get addicted to that, but that's not something I can be involved in. And some Christians never get addicted to ministry because they aren't willing to give it a try. These people are willing to give it a try. They may say, well, I don't know that I could do that. They may have wondered, I don't know, but I feel like I ought to do it, so therefore, I'll give it a try. There was probably some other things that they had to set aside and say, well, if I'm going to be involved in that, I'm not going to have time for this, or I'm going to have to set that aside because that wouldn't give me time to do it. And so they had to set some things aside, but they became addicted because they wanted to do it. Most of the vices that we speak of in relationship to addiction, as I understand it, are not very enjoyable the first time. I don't know. I've never smoked and I've never drank and I've never done drugs, and I'm thankful for it. I'm not proud to say, look at me. I'm just saying by the grace of God that I'm thankful that wasn't the case. But I understand that those things, when people, the first time they have them, they say, oh, I nearly died. I don't know why, you know, but someone encourage them to do it again, or they take it again, and it may take several times before they say, well, yeah, now I can't help myself. I have to do this. Even coffee can be that way, right? A lot of people say, I don't like coffee. Why do you drink this stuff? Here, have another cup. Well, it's not bad. And sometimes people get addicted to coffee and they have a headache if they don't take it, and so on. We already talked about that a little bit at the beginning, but unfortunately, with those vices that people get addicted to, they try it again and again, and they ultimately become addicted. These people addicted themselves to the ministry. There may have been days where they ministered to the saints and they said, well, I don't know, that didn't go very well. Maybe I'll just say, forget it. But no, they said, no, I'm going to do it again because it's the right thing to do. And there may have been letdowns and there may have been disappointments along the way, but they said, no, I'm going to keep doing it because it's the right thing to do. And ultimately, again, the definition, remember, it's devoted by customary practice. They said, this is just what we do now because we need to do this. This is what God wants us to do. And they addicted themselves to the ministry. But I'm sure that there were times when they probably said, I don't know. I don't know. And I wonder how many times as Christians we fail to get addicted to the ministry like these people did because we are disappointed by what happened when we tried it one time. We are let down, or people take it the wrong way, and we just say, I then forget it. If that's the way people are going to be, if that's the way it's going to turn out, I'm not going to do it. Nobody can really make you become addicted. It comes about because you choose to participate in it. Their addiction was to the ministry. Ministry means service. They got themselves hooked, if you will, on serving other believers. It's nice to be served. It's not always as pleasant to serve, depending what it is. Sometimes you say, I like this. This is great. I enjoy serving others. That's great. But there are times when we say, I just want to be served. It takes initiative to serve other people. It takes seeing a need and saying, I'll step in. I'll do it. It takes persistence to serve other people. It takes a love for God and for others. It takes letting all our things be done with charity. Our Savior is our greatest example, of course, of ministry, is He not? For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. In John 13, verse 15, after laying aside His robe, girding Himself with a towel, and washing the disciples' feet, Jesus said, I have done this as an example to you, and that you should do this as I have done to you. Ministering. I said it before, I would have to say that washing somebody else's feet is kind of at the bottom of my list of my bucket list. They haven't even made the bucket. And you know, it's not how you think. That's probably not a nice thing to do. We were working a lot at the church this week, and we go home and the boots get set by the front door of the house. So several of us walk in, and you know, there's a certain aroma that comes from those feet that have been in boots all day. Addicted to washing their feet. But Jesus said, you should do this. Not specifically, we don't have to specifically wash feet, but to serve one another. And the Bible says here that these people had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Washing the disciples' feet? Well, maybe not washing feet, but ministering, serving other people. It isn't easy to be addicted to ministry because people don't always receive you well. Sometimes we go out and we say, ministry, I'm going to minister to people, I'm going to go tell them about the Lord. And we may go knock on doors, and it doesn't take long if you knock on doors before you get a few shut in your face. It's not easy to get addicted to something when you see someone's front door number at your nose. We're not always received well when we serve God and minister. Jesus wasn't. Some are offended by your ministry. Remember Peter when Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet? No way, not washing my feet. He was offended by that. Jesus had to persist and say, listen, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter then said, well, then dump that whole pail on my head. I mean, my hands and my feet, I need to be washed. And Jesus said, well, you only need to have your hands and feet washed if you've been cleansed. And you know the story there, but it's not always easy to become addicted to ministry because it's not always received well. Some people take it the wrong way. They're offended by it. Some seem so unappreciative. It's nice to receive a thank you. Sometimes you're ministering to people, they don't say thank you. They may not realize that what you're doing is for their good and trying to be a help to them. Or they may just take it for granted and say, oh, great, yeah, that's good. You say, well, is there no appreciation? Some just take it all in without any offer of returning. I'm sure that the house of Stephanus met with all those things, and yet they still addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They carried on. They kept on doing it. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36, to minister to others, even if they take it the wrong way, to do good to our enemies. And He said, what purpose is it really if you do good to people who you know are just going to return the favor? I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine philosophy. Oh yeah, I'll be nice to so-and-so because I know that they're going to do something nice back for me. Jesus said, listen, the world does that. I've called you to minister and to serve without expecting anything in return. According to verse 18, they had refreshed Paul, but also they had refreshed other people. They ministered because it was right, not just to Paul, but they ministered to others, seemingly, who maybe weren't very appreciative because Paul has to tell the Corinthian believers to acknowledge them that are such. Perhaps they'd taken it for granted. We need believers who are addicted to ministry. And the Bible says here, going on to verse 16, that it is a labor. The house of Stephanus are described as laborers. He said, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. But verse 16, he says that they, to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth, it's work to serve other people. It doesn't always come easy. It's not always the overflow. It's not always the extra time, but it takes work and it takes dedication to do it. Romans 16, verse 6, the Apostle Paul spoke of a lady named Mary, and this is what he said. He said that she has bestowed much labor upon us. I don't know how she done it. He doesn't say. Maybe by having them stay at her house and taking care of their needs. It doesn't say what it is, but he said she'd bestowed much labor upon us. In the same chapter, in verse number 12, it says that some had labored much in the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, Paul speaks of himself and those that traveled with him as laboring day and night to minister to the Thessalonians. Day and night. That's not, you know, that's not the preacher that's one day a week at church and 6 days a week at golf. He said, we labored day and night. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 speaks of those who labor in the word and doctrine. I sometimes get accused of being a pencil pusher because my work is not a physical labor. They just sort of followed me around last week a little bit. They may think a little bit differently. But, you know, the Bible speaks of laboring in the word and doctrine. But it's labor. Sir, ministering to other people, whether you're ministering by physical, meeting physical needs or spiritual needs, it's a work and it's a labor. Jesus spoke to all the churches of Revelation, seven churches in Revelation, and he said, I know your works. I know thy works. And in particular, in chapter 2, verse 3, he told the Ephesian church that he knew that they had labored and not fainted. They had labored. He recognized their labor. Being addicted to ministry takes work. Jesus said that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I believe the Lord would desire that there are more believers who are addicted to ministry because they are laboring for Him. Labor done for the Lord is spoken of as being worthwhile, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Work and labor for the Lord. It's not in vain. God notices it. He rewards it according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. And He is not unrighteous to forget the things that you've done for Him, according to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. But it is labor. It is work. But these people not only labored, but they were faithful in laboring. In verse number 17, as we read a few minutes ago, it says, that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Paul said to the Corinthian church, you've slacked off. There's some things that you should have done. They've stepped in for you because they were faithful to fill in. Usually, again, addiction isn't spoken of addiction is spoken of as being a bad way, so it isn't spoken of as being faithfully carried out. But on a positive side, if we're addicted to ministry and good things, then faithfulness is a good thing. They said, we can't do without. We're looking for opportunities to minister. And, hey, Paul could use our help. We're going to minister to Paul. Maybe other people should have, but they looked and they said, hey, there's a need there that others aren't meeting. We can meet that need. And they were faithful to do that. What a great blessing it is to have people who are faithful in ministry and laboring for the Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And Psalm 12, verse 1 says, help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Isn't that a sad statement? The faithful fail from among the children of men. God is looking for people to be faithful. Faithfulness is sometimes kind of boring because it's predictable. Oh, I know so-and-so will be doing that because they always do. So-and-so will be there because they're always there. So-and-so because they always. And we may sometimes look at that as being a negative. So they're so predictable. Well, you know, it's a good thing to be predictably faithful and good at things, doing good things for the Lord. It's a good thing to be faithful. God says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And he said of Moses that Moses is faithful in all his house. I'm so thankful for faithful people. You are such a blessing to me when people are faithful, are such a blessing. And we'll look at that in just a second. We all need to be faithful. God needs more faithful people. People who can be counted on because they've addicted themselves to the ministry, willing to labor and are faithful. And verse 18 says the result of that is they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Refreshed. To cool. To allay heat. Like a dew coming after a heat. Refreshed. To give new strength. To invigorate. To relieve after fatigue. As to refresh the body. To revive. To reanimate after depression. To cheer. To enliven. To improve by new touches anything impaired. To revive what is drooping as rain refreshes the plants. By doing their job faithfully, by being addicted to the ministry, the house of Stephanas, and these are the people, Paul said, they lifted my spirit, they encouraged me, they revived me, they strengthened me. He imagined Paul's life traveling from place to place to place to place. These people refreshed him and revived him, encouraged him in his life. I can vouch for what the Apostle Paul is saying here. It's very refreshing to have people who addict themselves to the ministry. Sometimes I walk into church and things are just done. I don't know who did it. I have an idea sometimes. I say, well, praise God, I saw that needed doing. And somebody just said, saw a need and did it. It's so refreshing. It's so encouraging. It's such a blessing. And then when it's done, I say, Lord, thank you. Bless that person who did that. It's encouraging to come into church and to see people come in and to see folks come in and say, well, man, praise God. There they are, as always, in their place, serving God. That's an encouragement. It's a refreshing thing. They refresh and encourage the preacher. As Paul said here, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Paul said that they should be recognized for that refreshing service. They acknowledge them that are such. Are you one who refreshes the saints by your faithful service? Addiction. Usually it brings up a negative connotation because many are negative addictions. We need to guard against those by watching, standing fast in the faith, standing like men and being strong. We need to watch, guard against those things by letting all the things that we do be done with charity, a heart of love and compassion. But we can also be people of commendable character as Stephanas and his household who addicted themselves to the ministry. Choose to addict yourself to God and His service. I'll tell you this, you have to make a choice to do it. It may put you out of your comfort zone and you may feel that you're just out of that comfort zone for a little while and you may think, boy, I don't know they're ever going to get the hang of this. But if God's called you to do it, just keep faithfully doing it. It'll take work. It'll take faithfulness. But it will refresh the spirits of other people. It will refresh them and encourage them. And so we end the message where we began. Are you addicted? Addicted to things that you shouldn't be, perhaps, then it's time to break those addictions. Are you addicted to ministering to other people? That's an addiction to be established and start. And may God help us to be those people who are continually addicted to ministering and serving others. Let's pray together. Lord, again, we're thankful for this time. And thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture, the example of the household of Stephanas. Lord, I suppose we'll never know much more about them than what we've read tonight. Perhaps just the odd thing here in Scripture, here and there. But Lord, we are thankful that we can read about them, and their testimony has been a challenge to our lives and an encouragement to our lives tonight. Lord, I thank you for people who are addicted to ministry. Lord, some people who are here in this place tonight, and Lord, how they have labored and been faithful and refreshed the hearts and lives of many. Lord, we rejoice and we're thankful for them, each one. Lord, we pray that you'd help us ever to watch, to stand fast, to quit like men, to be strong, and to let all our things be done with charity. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to perhaps realize those addictions in our life that ought not be there, to break those, and to establish good addictions, to be addicted to reading the Word and praying, and to be addicted to ministering to other people, as this household of Stephanas was. Lord, we know that it's not easy. It will take work, and sometimes people will take it the wrong way and will be discouraged. But Lord, may we not quit faithfully serving you. And so, Lord, you know the need of each one of us tonight, and what is you've spoken to us about through this message. And so I pray that you'd help us to apply it in our life accordingly, we pray, in Jesus' name.